Now, one of the most famous epitaphs, I'm sure, is that of Spike Milligan. So on his gravestone, he has the words, "See, I told you I was sick." There's another one that you probably won't have heard of. In a grave in Dunoon, it reads, "Here lie the remains of Thomas Woodhen, the most amiable of husbands and excellent of men." His real name was Woodcock, but it wouldn't come in rhyme. Today's Bible passage is, as you heard, about the death and the raising of Lazarus. Perhaps a fitting epitaph for his gravestone would have been something we very often say when we're just calling in to see someone. "I won't stay long." Wouldn't we like that to be our epitaph as well? You know, to death, "I'm just calling in, but I won't stay long because I'm going to be raised." We want something, don't we, that sounds perhaps a little less final. We don't like the word dead. It's very interesting, actually, isn't it, when we have that story there and Jesus calls Lazarus to come out, and we read John says, "The dead man came out." He could have said, "And Lazarus came out." But John's making that point, "The dead man came out." We don't like the word dead or died. We tend to use other words. Partly we don't like it because we recognise we're all mortal. We have our diets and we have our fitness regimes, but at the end of the day, we know we're all facing death. And when we come to it and the death of others, we use other words to make it sound less final. Think of the very famous Monty Python sketch with the Norwegian blue parrot. You can think of any number of different phrases. You know, "He's gone to meet his maker." "He snuffed it, pushing up the daisies." "He kicked the bucket." "Passed on" or "passed away." These are phrases that we use in order to avoid using the word death or dying or dead. Well, chapter 11 of John's Gospel shows us how Jesus approaches death. And it's informative for us. And as we look at it, we'll see two key things, I hope. First of all, his compassion. And secondly, his power. That's Jesus' compassion, then his power. First of all, let's look at his compassion. And I guess the most obvious expression of Jesus' compassion comes in that verse 35. It's the very shortest verse in the Bible, referred to very often as that shortest verse. Jesus wept. Just two words, Jesus wept. The Jews then offer an explanation for Jesus' tears. Verse 36, the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And it's true, isn't it? We've seen that in the story already. You know, John has already told us, verse 3 and verse 5, Jesus loved him. The message that the sisters send is, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And then verse 5, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus." So Jesus really did love Lazarus. Understandably, he wept at the grave of his friend. But actually, Jesus' grief is deeper than just this personal sense of loss. Verse 33, we read that he's deeply moved in spirit and troubled. The phrase there conveys this idea of not so much of sadness, but of anger, of indignation, of frustration. Some commentators suggested that one of the words here is that sense of the kind of guttural noise. In fact, he moves to the graveside and you have this sort of, he's moved in spirit. That sense is if you can put it into words, the noise that a horse makes when it's sort of frustrated. Now, there's some horsey people here. And there's sort of, that kind of, if I may do that. That's good for the recording, isn't it? I'll do that again. Okay. So that's a kind of how Jesus feels right inside when he comes face to face with death. Deeply moved in spirit and troubled. He's angry. He's outraged. And his focus of his anger is death itself. He knows that death is not God's primary intention for humankind. We look back to the very beginning of the scriptures and we see God creating the world. Actually, there's the tree of life in the garden. Okay, this is for all of us. This is the plan. We are made for life. Death comes as first as a warning, and then ultimately as a punishment for disobedience. Don't eat the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you'll surely die. That's where death appears, as a fruit of rebellion. And so Jesus' response to Lazarus' death, it reveals really a complex set of emotions about all kinds of things. It's about the existence of death itself. It's about the rebellion of humankind, which has caused it and brought it into being. He's anger at death because of the pain that it brings to those around, as he recognizes the grief in Martha and Mary and the weeping Jews, the friends of Lazarus. And he weeps at the same time with those who suffer and mourn. All of this is Jesus' reaction. Jesus wept. But all of that is caught up in that phrase. And I want to say is maybe you need to hear this today. Maybe this is something that actually you need in your life. You've come to terms or coming to terms with the death of a loved one. Or perhaps you're facing the prospect of death yourself. The reality is, you know, we are all mortal. We have to face it sometime. Well, you can know you're not alone. Jesus comes alongside this family in their grief. He's right there with us as we face death. He's angry at our rebellion which caused death. He's angry at death itself for the pain that it brings to those who will mourn. He's weeping with those who suffer and grieve. This story is rich with Christ's compassion for the suffering. Maybe we need to recognize Jesus in that compassion. But we notice in this story, his compassion doesn't just stop at tears and words of empathy. Jesus actually takes action in this story, and then we see his power. And this is another great thing for us to see in the face of death. Jesus' power in the face of death. Jesus' power over death. It's a big story. There's lots we could look at, but let's look at just a couple of verses which highlight this. Verse 4, well, right at the beginning of the story, this gives us a bit of a clue to what is coming as we read the narrative going forwards. When Jesus heard Lazarus was sick, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." So Jesus sees immediately that what's going on here is an opportunity for the glory of God to be revealed, and particularly for his glory, his identity, to be shown. And the wording of the next couple of verses, very curious. We might think, well, that doesn't make any sense. I'll read it for you. Very clear as Jane read it for us. "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And as we read that, you think, sorry, he loved Martha and her sister, who've called for him. Jesus, the one you love is ill. So he stayed where he was 2 more days. You would think that out of his love for them, he would get on the first camel out of wherever he was and scoot over to Bethany. But actually, it says, so when he heard, he stayed where he was. He loved them, so he stayed. It was love that made him wait where he was. Think of what we've just heard. This is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So he stayed. The best thing for Martha and for Mary is that they see Jesus glorified. He loves them enough to wait so that they can see that properly. Verse 14, 2 days later, as he leaves to go to Bethany, he tells his disciples plainly, "Lazarus is dead." So having said he's asleep and he's going to wake him up, he says, "No, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe." He wants his disciples to believe. In fact, if we read John's Gospel right to the end, we see towards the end of chapter 20, a whole load of miracles and signs are recorded in John's Gospel. But at the end, John says, these are recorded. There's lots more that could have been written about, but these have been recorded so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. That's why John wrote his gospel. And in the middle of it, we have this story. Actually, I'm glad I wasn't there, says Jesus, so that you may believe. He wants his disciples to believe, to see. So in human terms, the death of Lazarus is a tragedy. There's no doubt about that. We see Martha and we see Mary worried about his sickness and then later coming in grief to Jesus. They weep and Jesus weeps. There's no doubt that this is a human tragedy, but it's part of God's perfect plan to show more people more clearly who Jesus is. Lazarus' sickness and death were for God's glory and for the glory of God's Son, so that people could believe. All this is an act of supreme love. Jesus loved Martha and Mary. He loved his disciples, so he waited. And then he came. And then he stood at the tomb, and the tomb is opened, and he says, thank you, Father, for hearing me. I know you always hear me. But I've said this so that those here might believe. He wants people to believe. He wants people to see his power over death. And so in verses 38 to 44, you have that account of Jesus calling the dead man out of the tomb. The reading ends verse 45. As I said, it does carry on, but we stopped in verse 45. Jesus' action has had the desired effect. Therefore, many of the Jews who'd come to visit Mary and see what Jesus did believed in him. They put their faith in him. They saw his power over death, and they put their faith in him. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. By raising Lazarus from the tomb, Jesus proves his word is true. Jesus has power over death. He stands alongside the fearful. He comes alongside the sad with perfect compassion. He promises eternal life to those who believe. So perhaps an encouragement for us today. Do not fear. Do not despair, but rather trust in the one who has overcome the grave. That's our Jesus. Let's pray that God will help us to have confidence in him. And let's rejoice that he is the one who brings life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this is such a real story. We can sense the despair in Mary and Martha as they come out to him. They knew Jesus was a healer, but they thought it was all over. And so we commend to you ourselves and our unbelief and our lack of faith. And we pray that you would remind us again and refresh us and reinvigorate our faith that Christ is the one with the power over death. And where we are anxious about our own deaths, or where we grieve over those who have gone before us, please fill us with that confidence that Christ is the one who looks after us through death and will bring us to your eternal kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.